Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Vaibhav Global Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Meet Shah of CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shah.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Vaibhav Global's Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. Today we have with us Mr. Sunil Agrawal, Managing Director, Mr. Vineet Ganeriwala, Group CFO, and Mr. Prashant Saraswath, Head, Investor Relations. We will begin the call with a brief opening remarks by Mr. Sunil Agrawal on the business operation, key initiatives, and a broad outlook, followed by a discussion on the financial performance by Mr. Vineet Ganeriwala. Post which, the management will open the forum for a Q&A session. Before we get started, I want to point out that certain statements made or discussed on today's call may be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties we face. A detailed statement and explanation of these risks is included in the earnings presentation, which has been shared with you all earlier. The company does not undertake to update these forward-looking statements publicly. I'd like to invite Mr. Sunil Agrawal to make his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mank. I welcome you all to Vaibhav Global's Q1 FY23 earnings call. I hope all of you would have reviewed the results. Our presentation provides further detail both on the business and on the environment we are operating in. The quarter gone by reflects effects of two macro environments. First, the opening up of economies after 2 years of travel restrictions led people to go out for revenge outings, impacting all digital retailers like VGR. Secondly, the high inflation in Western economies constrained consumers to spend on discretionary items. Recent quarterly performance was softer over an otherwise elevated base of 2 years, with revenue reaching rupees 628 crores. This was 8% down YOY. However, this performance is encouraging versus a pre-COVID period of Q1 FY20 with a growth of 47%. Amidst all broader challenges, we see a visible improvement during the last 3 months, with revenue trend improving month over month. We believe that this transitory phase will be behind us soon, and we will get back to our revenue and profitability growth path again. It is worthy to note that despite this transient phase, the gross margin improved sequentially and was 62% owing to our vertically integrated supply chain and better product mix. EBITDA margin for the quarter was 7%, excluding Germany, it is 9.1% YOY, 9.1%. YOY comparison shows decline in EBITDA margin largely due to operating deleverage. Continuing with our strategy of enhancing our digital capabilities, we continued investments on new OTA homes, digital marketing spend on OTT, social media, and third-party marketplaces. Digital is a future with high growth potential. Hence, we will continue to concentrate on the segment and build our strength there for some time to come. This quarter, we have achieved the milestone of completing 25 years of public listing. We take this opportunity to thank our shareholders who shared this great journey with us. All these years, our deep discount and value positioning worked well in various kinds of economic cycles and delivered consistent results to our shareholders. During the quarter, VGL's German subsidiary, Shop LC GmbH, expanded its presence by launching its proprietary TV channel on national OTA platform, Freenet TV. With this arrangement, Shop LC GmbH also marked its foray into OTA that is over-the-air platforms, and increased its coverage by approximately 2.5 million households, thus providing further scope of scalability. At Shop TGS UK, the free channel upgradation has started yielding positive outcomes in terms of new TV customer acquisition. In February 22, new TV customer acquisition rate was negative 17%, which today is positive 24%. We expect that the current trend will continue to benefit TJC with market-leading growth in the long run. Our vertically integrated supply chain network spanning 30 countries is the backbone of our business and a key differentiator. It is helping us with increased product availability while many other retailers battle with supply chain constraints. The low-cost manufacturing with value sourcing enables to serve value-conscious customers in our addressable markets in US, UK, and Germany, thus achieving industry-leading gross margins. Further, our 4R framework, widening reach, new customer registration, customer retention, and repeat purchases, remains to be our key levers for growth. The reach of our TV networks by end of Q1 FY23 was approximately 127 million TV homes, which is 24% higher YoY. We reached TV homes through cable, satellite, telco networks, and over-the-air antenna, also called OTA platforms. Our products are also available on digital channels, including proprietary websites, smartphone apps, OTT platforms, and marketplaces. Our sustained investments on OTAs and digital channels is yielding desired results in terms of increase in customer acquisition and sustained retention rates. Our unique customer base is at 500,000. New registrations on TTM basis are at 3.2 lakhs. Similarly, new customer acquisition on TTM basis stands at 2.6 lakhs, which is higher by 12% YoY and significantly higher by 27% over Q1 FY21. On a sustainability aspect, we are pleased to announce the publication of our first integrated annual report and annual ESG report for Vigil Group for the financial year 21-22. We hold value creation and sustainability as complementary goals. These reports reflect our continued efforts towards value creation along with greater transparency, strong governance, and ethical business practices. Further, we are glad to announce that two of our office buildings in US has received LEED Gold certification. This certification reaffirms our focus on efficient operations and recognizes our efforts towards sustainability. Another important aspect of sustainability effort is our midday meal program, Your Purchase Feeds. Recently, we crossed a milestone of 67 million meals with a run rate of 59,000 meals donated every single school day. Towards the conclusion, the broader economic environment is a bit uncertain. Our outlook for the year and midterm remains intact. We expect to deliver mid-single-digit growth in this fiscal year and mid-teens revenue growth next year and thereafter. We closely monitor our liquidity position and deploy funds accordingly while maintaining overall profitability. The board of directors of your company have declared an interim dividend of Rs. 1.5 share for the quarter, implying a firm belief in our business model and a strong performance going forward. With this, I now hand over the call to Vineet to discuss financial performance. Over to you, Vineet.
Thank you, Sunit. And good evening, everyone. A warm welcome to Weber Global's earnings conference call. While Sunil gave you some details on overall performance and business status, I will now take you through our financial performance for the quarter ended 30th June 2022 in detail. Last few months have seen some level of uncertainty around inflation and resultant subdued consumer behavior. Quarterly revenue of rupees 628 crores is on the backdrop of the macroeconomic channel. It is also pertinent to note that Q1 of the last two fiscal years grew exceptionally higher owing to COVID-supported tailwind. While the current quarter, Q1, growth looks subdued because of higher base, our 3 years compounded annual growth rate stands at 13%, with a robust growth of 43% over Q1 of FY20. The e-com industry in US and UK, after a tailwind during COVID, have been witnessing some headwinds with economy fully opening up and lower demand due to inflation-related worries. The sales mix of e-com market in US and UK have fallen by 4.1% and 0.3% respectively versus December 2021 levels as suggested by the macro data. Consequently, in local currency, ShopLC US and ShopTJC UK had a softer revenue performance, but we are rapidly adjusting our offerings to changing consumer demand, and the same is reflected in improving revenue numbers month on month. We are pleased to report that the preview channel upgradation in ShopTJC to slot number 22 from 50 has started yielding positive outcomes. Today, the rate of new TV customer stands at 24%, which is a delta of 41% over February 2022. We perceive that this investment will further enhance the viewership of TJC, as we mentioned earlier, and thereby offering a huge future growth potential. Our TV revenue stands at rupees 386 crore and digital revenue at rupees 222 crores. The numbers are down by 9.6% and 9.2% year-on-year respectively. However, when compared against pre-COVID period of quarter one of FY20, the growth is encouraging at 40.7% and 59.8% respectively in both the segments. Our focused approach on expanding OTA households continued during the quarter. Sales mix between TV and digital is 64% and 36% respectively. Additionally, our investments on expanding omni-channel distribution have resulted in 58% of new customer acquisition happening on digital platforms during the quarter. This omni-channel distribution model promotes and encourages customers to transact on both TV and digital platforms, which gives them a unique shopping experience and a cross-selling potential for us. Omni-channel customer tends to be sticky and have a significantly higher lifetime value than customers who buy only on TV or only on digital. We also provide hassle-free shopping experience with our budget pay service, allowing customers to make purchases on EMI basis. Since its launch in FY16, the service has been gaining good traction, and presently it is contributing around 39% of the total retail sales. Over the last many years, share of non-jewelry has increased multifold, indicating our ability to take higher wallet share out of the same household. Jewelry accounts for 72% of the total retail sales, while the rest 28% is comprised by lifestyle products, which includes apparels, home decor items, beauty and accessories. Our EBITDA margins dropped from 14.4% to 7% during the quarter Q1 FY23. A large part of this is attributable to our investment into New Germany unit and our conscious investment on digital and broadcasting network, all of which are strong future revenue growth pillars. We believe current EBITDA margins because of these investments are not true reflection of our business model, and we are confident of reverting back to our earlier level of mid-teens range in the medium term, led by continued customer growth, improved productivity, and cost optimizations. Profit after tax for the quarter is rupees 20 crores, as against rupees 66 crores of last year, adjusted for exceptional items. Operating cash flows and free cash flows were at rupees 32 crores and rupees 18 crores respectively, reflecting impact of lower profitability. However, the cash generation has improved sequentially due to efficient capital allocation and focus on costs. On a TTM basis, ROE and ROCE were at 14% and 22% respectively. These return ratios, while continuing to be strong, suggest effect of conscious investments on affiliates, digital marketing, and German operations. The board of directors of your company have declared an interim dividend of rupees 1.50 per share for the quarter. Towards the end, we would like to reiterate that we have immense opportunity ahead, and we continue to invest to create long-term value while navigating through a volatile short-term market environment. For fiscal 2023, we reiterate our previously provided guidance of mid-single-digit revenue growth while maintaining mid-teens revenue growth in the long run, and our guidance of operating leverage in the current year. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhilash Sharan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, can you explain the investments that we are making in the OTA platform? You had alluded in the past that these OTA investments are much higher than the normal OTT platform. So what is the reason for that, and how are we looking at those investments?
Yeah, so thank you for the question. OTA is over-the-air antenna platforms. While cable, there's a cord-cutting mechanism. OTA is increasing year-over-year by 6 to 7%. So that is expanding in the U.S. In U.K., it is already quite large in ratio terms, but in the U.S. it is expanding. And that is where we are accelerating our investments for future growth potential, because that is growing year over year. And wherever we are getting opportunity, we are investing in that. Per household revenue from those OTAs are higher than cable, because they are limited number of channels people see via antenna compared to cable. Cable have about 1,000 channels, whereas antenna has anywhere between 25 to 100 channels only. And it is broadcasted free of cost to consumers.
And sir, what will be the exact difference then, between the full power OTA and the low power OTA, right? You said that full power OTA are kind of much more expensive than the low power.
Yes, that is correct. Good observation. So low power OTA, we are already in about 16 million homes in US out of about 22 million. Full power, we are just about 4 million homes out of 22 million. So full power is usually has a much higher signal and reaches broader area of the antenna tower. And whereas low power reaches to a limited number of homes. And the full power is usually also affiliated with national broadcaster like ABC, NBC, CNN, whereas there's a large audience tied into those ABC, CBS, and CNN. And when we go to their digital channel, that's called sub-digital, .2 to .9, the audience, which is on the main channel for ABC, CBS, those flow over to dot channels as well. So full power has more value, it's more expensive also, and but higher revenue per household as well.
Okay, so sir, is it correct to then say that the full power OTA house average household's income will be higher than the low power OTA household?
That is correct, yes. Quite substantially higher.
Could you give some broad numbers, like what would be the average household incomes for full power OTA and the low power versus the normal cable? Some just broad numbers.
Right. Yeah, I don't have it offhand with me. But the multiple between low power and high power is anywhere from 4 times to 8 times.
Okay, 4 times to 8 times on the household income front.
No. The revenue from full power OTA is about 5 to 8 times of low power OTA per home basis.
Okay. Sir, and
Mr. Abhilash, may I request you to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for the turn.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. My question was on the margin front. You have given a breakup of the impact on margins under various studies. So, if you can first tell us about this cross margin.
I think you are not clear. Okay. Sachin, you're not clear.
Can is it better now, sir?
To you? Yeah, we can try again.
Yes. I'm saying this margin impact because of two or three various effects you have given in the presentation. So if you could just tell us this gross margin 300 basis point impact, can tell us a little bit more in detail. And when do you see this impact of gross margin going on?
So the gross margins, we have always guided for 60 plus gross margins. And in this quarter, while year on year, the gross margins are lower from 65% of last year to 62%, but it remains well above our guardrails of 60% and have also sequentially improved. So while it's a challenging macroeconomic environment, but we are happy that we are able to maintain our guardrail of 60 plus gross margins even in this challenging quarter. Coming to EBITDA margins, I don't know whether your question was specifically directed towards gross or EBITDA.
So I had two, 3 points on this EBITDA margin. One was on the gross margin. Second was on this investments in OTA and in Germany that you have mentioned. So when do you now guide for Germany to break even and the drag on Germany to go away? And the second was on the increased investment in OTA and digital marketing initiatives. Is it like going to be now continuous affair, or is it also a one-time initiative and over the next few quarters the impact of that on the margins will go away?
Sure. So Germany, we have already guided break-even in H2 of FY24, which is next year H2. So we are in line with that. We reiterate that guidance of breaking even in H2 of next year. So till that time, the losses will be there in Germany unit. As of now, it is impacting 2.2% on the EBITDA margin. Sequentially, it is lower from the March quarter. But yes, it will break even in H2, and we are absolutely in line with that guidance. On your point of accelerated investment in digital and broadcasting, so we not shy away from investing in further OTA opportunities if we get that for future. So what one needs to understand is that it takes time to build up revenue from a new household. While the cost may hit from day one, the customer and the revenue buildup happens after a lag, but then it gives subsequent a very high revenue as well as leverage opportunity for future. So getting such opportunities in OTA households is not very easy, and it comes from time to time. As of now, the visibility which we have in overall rupee terms, it may not increase by more than, say, it will be very close to lower double digit increase in the content and broadcasting expenditure for the year versus last year. But if we get more opportunities in OTA, we'll not shy away, as it is a very strong growth pillar for our future business.
So, in spite of all these initiatives, sir, how confident are we to go back to the mid-teens EBITDA margin over the medium term that we had before these various sectors of investments and some impact of inflation impacted our margin?
Yeah, thank you. So we reiterated our guidance of reverting back to mid-teens level in the medium term. So this year, there are a lot of macro challenges and our investments into these Germany unit as well as broadcasting coming up. But next year, when it starts to unlock, Germany unlocking in H2 of next year and all these investments into broadcasting giving commensurate revenue in the next year, we guess we will recoup a large part of this lost EBITDA margin within next year itself. So we have reiterated our confidence on reaching to mid-teens level in the medium term going forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nilesha from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, we need just a bit more clarity on the margin side. You said this year we've guided for a single digit, a mid-single digit kind of revenue growth.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Shah. May I request you to speak a little louder?
Yeah, sure. Vineet, we've kind of reiterated our guidance of this year revenue growth in mid-single digit and the EBITDA margin to also...
Mr. Nilesh.
Nilesh, we can't hear you. Are you there?
Can you hear me now?
It is really low, sir.
Is it still low?
Now you can go ahead. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry for that. We need just a clarification in terms of the margin for this year. So we're guiding for a single-digit revenue growth and the EBITDA margin to be a function of the operating leverage. So does that mean that if our revenues grow at, say, 5% this year, we expect our EBITDA absolute number to also grow at 5%? Is that what we should really understand?
Thanks, Nilesh, for that question. So we have not given a number to our EBITDA margin guidance for the year, but what we have mentioned is with a mid-single-digit revenue growth, we will have operating leverage coming in. So profit will grow at 5 or greater than 5.
So that's
this is for the current year, and for the next year, what we have mentioned is reverting back to our mid-teens kind of a revenue growth in the medium and the long term, and similarly for mid-teens EBITDA margins in the medium and long term.
Yeah, surely. So if I just do the maths, Vineet, it means that for the rest of the three quarters of this year, our EBITDA margin will have to be 11.2%, which is higher than what we have achieved even in FY22. So I just thought, is that what we should understand? Because that's what the math suggests.
Yeah, so I don't have the exact number of the last three quarters of FY22, Nilesh, but yes, in the current quarter, 3 years, what we have also mentioned is sequentially we will see improvement in EBITDA margins going forward. So the first quarter has a revenue degrowth over the last year for all the reasons explained above. Cost optimization initiatives, which we have started since last 3 months, have started kicking in benefit and giving benefits, as I explained in my commentary as well. So these two things, now the revenue coming back to positive growth in the coming quarters and the cost initiatives giving full benefits, the EBITDA margins in the next three quarters will match the revenue growth for the full year.
Okay, thanks. Thanks.
And Nilesh, not to mention,
yeah.
Q3 is our peak season time, wherein we see a good amount of operating leverage flowing in, and we get a good benefit in the Q3 as well. So it will not be like a flat 11% in all the three quarters going forward, but it will see sequential improvement from here.
Okay. Just a follow-on question. Our realizations on the website have increased quite significantly. I'm not too sure. One of our realizations have increased quite significantly. What explains that spike in the realizations?
You are talking about the average selling price, Nilesh? Is
yes,
that the question?
That's right.
Okay. So average selling price, Nilesh, is a function of what the customers are pulling at that point of time. So like in the last year, there were a lot of essentials which were being sold, and hence the prices were low, volumes were significantly up. So this year, what we're seeing is the impact of all these economic uncertainties. People are resorting to gold as a medium of investment as well. So we are seeing a huge spike in gold chains, like unprecedented, like what we would have sold earlier. So which is why the volumes may be low, but the prices are higher. So what I mean to say is the price and the volume are the function of what the customers are pulling at a particular point of time. We, being vertically integrated supply chain, are rightly poised to take advantage of any rapidly changing consumer scenario which comes our way. So I would urge not to look at price and volume quarter by quarter, rather look at it in the long term, because short term it may vary with respect to changing consumer needs.
Fine. Fine. Okay. Thanks. Thanks. That's helpful. Best wishes.
Thank you, Nilesh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Latika Jetha from Concept Investwell. Please go ahead.
Hello. So I have a question. You have mentioned that we are gaining market share. So I just wanted to check, how do we calculate this, whether we are gaining market share or losing market share? Any particular source or mechanism to know this?
Yeah, I can take that, Sunil. So the way we calculate market share for us is we look at similar players. So for example, say there is Qurate in QVC in U.S. and Evine in U.S., and similar, there are multiple such operators in U.K. So we look at similar home shopping networks who sell through TV and online as a medium of sales, just like us. And we take only those companies in comparison whose numbers are publicly available for everyone to see. So when we compare ourselves from QVC, say for example, QVC, Qurate, and Evine in U.S., we find that while our revenue growth might be a little muted in the last few quarters, but that is significantly above the competitors, like we mentioned it, and we continue to grow market share quarter by quarter, year after year, since last many years now. Just to give a broad number, so Qurate, while we would have grown by very low single digit in Q4, their Q1 numbers are yet to come. Qurate have degrown by double digit in the last quarter, Q4.
Okay, so the market share gain which you have mentioned is not related to the Q1 quarter. It is for the past 6 months, right?
So we continue to gain market share quarter by quarter and year by year. The Q1 numbers are yet to come out. They will be coming out later this week and early next week. But looking at the trends of last many quarters now, what we mean to say that we have been continuously gaining market share.
Okay.
Consistently.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sameer Dalal from Natverlal & Sons Stockbrokers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just want to refer to your presentation, page 22, where you are showing the recent trend improving month over month. So this 9.9% decline, 8.5 and 5.2, that is a sequentially slowing down growth, or this is over the last year, the same month? I've not understood that chart too well, so if you could just explain that.
Yeah, it is over the same month of last year.
So even though we are seeing a slowdown in, even though you say that normalizing sales, every sales have been slow, but they are lower. So if I were to look at it actually month on month, say, can you kind of quantify what has taken the movement of sales over this period?
So this is a sales movement. Month over month, same year, for example, April is 9.9% lower than April of last year.
No, I'm saying
and then May was sequential.
So April to May to June, how has the sales been? Not month on month, but
yes, so
not over the previous year, over the current year.
So it is same month of previous year. So April 22 over April 21, May 22 over May 21, and June 22 over June 21.
Understood that. What I'm saying is, can you give us some indication on how the sales have been April 22 to May 22, to, you know, month on month, June 22, how they're moving sequentially?
Oh, I see. Yeah. So, let me see the data. But, you know, in our case, there's a lot of seasonality, month over month, all the clearance mechanism that we run. So that may not give you a best picture, because same may be the last year or year before as well. So I would encourage you, I can give you the data, but I encourage you to look at year over year for the same period rather than month over month sequentially.
Okay, that's fine. Now, my second question has to do with the fact that, you know, we have seen
you're breaking up.
Yeah, now can you hear me clearly?
You're breaking up.
Now, how about now? Can you
repeat the question?
Hello?
You're coming in and out. So if you can probably be just a little closer to the mouthpiece and let me try again.
Sure. Is it here now?
Mr. Samir, this is the operator. Yes. There is a lot of disturbance in your line. May I request to please rejoin the queue, sir?
Oh, can I just try once again to ask this question before I, because it's, I mean.
Okay,
just,
please go ahead.
If it's clearer now.
Go ahead.
What we have seen is a big jump in the TV sales average selling price. And what you rightfully said is last year there were a lot of your essential goods because of which the average selling price was lower. But what we are also seeing over last year is the gross margins have come down. So would it be fair to assume that those the gross margins for the essentials was higher than that of what we are selling normally?
Yes. So last year, essential also gave higher margin, and the customer pull was there. So we could get overall higher margin on our products. The customers were at home, relatively home, last 2 years actually. And we could gain that leverage to get margin. This year, the cost was slightly elevated due to shipping costs and all that. And customer eyeballs are lesser on TV as well as on the properties. So the leverage that you have to gain extra margin is also less. So that there are two reasons for that.
No, so you're saying, no, my question is, the, if we remove the essentials, now that essentials may not sell to the same quantum what they did in the past, can we assume that the gross margins would be more around the range of 62 levels for the entire year going forward, or do you think you can scale back up towards the 65? That's the question I'm trying to address.
Yeah, so we don't give those specific margin guidance, Samir. We give the guidance that we'll keep it at minimum 60%. Above that, we look at the opportunities and then take benefit of that. So from quarter to quarter, we don't give, or even year to year, we don't give gross margin specific guidance. But what I can say is that we'll be above 60 and we'll have leverage of profitability over last year. This financial year will have leverage over last year.
Okay. And now, one last question. You know, if you look at your depreciation, that has been quite a big jump actually. This has to do with some amount of the amortization also of the TV channels, I mean the upgrade of the TV channels, or that has still not come into the full, you still, over the 10-year period that you're going to amortize the cost?
Yeah, it's already part of that.
It's already, so this will be the probably stable rate going forward right now?
That is correct. So we moderated our CapEx for the time being. Only CapEx that will come from Q4 is our new headquarter construction that will start on Q4 this year. So that will come in, but that will last for about 2 years. So it won't start to kick in. The amortization will start to kick in after it becomes operational in FY25 actually.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'll get back in queue for more.
Sure. Thanks, Anish.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, in the presentation, you have mentioned three initiatives on the cost cutting and cost savings, which should yield between $5 to $7 million yearly basis. So one, any benefit we have seen in the current quarter? And secondly, will we see the full benefit in financial year 23 or part benefit of this in 23 and partly in FY 24?
Yeah, I can take that, Sunil. So some benefit have started coming in Q1. Definitely, and the amount which we have given out there is for this financial year. So FY23, the full benefit is in the range of that 6 to 7 millions which we have guided out there. So all the three initiatives, so the call center, arbitrage, shipping and warehousing and the contract renewals have started kicking in from Q1 itself, but they will keep picking speed in the coming quarters and full year benefit of about $6 to $7 million as stated there.
So that itself should add another around 150 basis points support to the EBITDA margin, just to the math.
Okay. Yes, so like we mentioned, so the mid-single-digit revenue growth along with this cost initiatives will more than offset the investments which we need to continue to do in Germany and in the broadcasting network. And we would see positive leverage this year as well. So This mid-single digit revenue growth and the cost exercise is what the guidance is based out of.
Sure. So just one more question, more from a medium to long term, say a 3 to 5 years perspective. So we had periods of very strong growth, and then we had to have some investments for digital as well as getting into new geographies. So how should we model from a 5 year perspective? Is it that a mid-teen and a mid-teen growth and mid-teen margin sustainable, or is it that to sustain a mid-teen growth, while we may periodically see mid-teen margin, but the average for say a 3-5 year period may be a little lower, maybe like low single digits, low double digits, something like that, if you can comment on that. And are we looking at any more geographies to enter once this Germany stabilizes after say another 6 to 8 quarters from now?
Yeah, so for your 5 year plan, I think as we have demonstrated over our 25 year listed, we have over the period shown about 18% growth. So for going forward, we are giving a guidance of mid-teens growth with leverage. Leverage will continue to decline as a percentage, but we are hoping to see the leverage as well. So if we go into a next country, they'll have a larger base of three countries becoming profitable, and then absorbing of that initial losses of 3 years into a new country will be spread over lower number. And then our digital investment that we are making, OT investments, OTT, so they will also start to kick in. So we feel fairly confident of mid-teens revenue growth with leverage coming in from next year onwards for foreseeable future.
Okay. Let me reframe my question. So if I see our numbers for the last at least 10, 12 years, which I have right now access to, from the period 2010 to 2018-19, our EBITDA margins range used to be between 5 and 6% on the lower side to 10 to 11%. And this time, despite the investment that we are doing, at least in the last 3-4 years, the range looks more to be like between 10, 11 on the low side and 14, 15 on the higher side. Is that structurally the way company has now evolved? We will every 5 years keep moving to a little higher band in terms of, so within a 5 year period, we will see volatility in terms of margins, but that band will keep moving higher every 5 years because of the way the business is evolving. That was my first question.
Yeah, so I can't commit to those 5% for every 5 years, but we expect, because of business model, as we leverage our sales up on the same asset base or get more wallet share of the customer, we will get the leverage. Now, if some volatility comes like we are seeing now, we saw in 8-9, so that is kind of unforeseen, but we believe in a long-term growth of the business. We designed the model in such a way that it'll continue to see leverage for quite some time. At what point of time it'll plateau out at the growth, top growth level, I cannot foresee at this time, but for the foreseeable future, we expect the leverage to continue to kick in.
Are you looking at any major geographies once Germany stabilizes to enter in the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, next. So we have researched, and our plan is to go into Japan, but not till the time Germany is fully stable and very profitable. We won't go in while this business is still developing.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure, Sachin.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Abhilash Sharan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Abhilash, please go ahead.
Yes. Yes. So can you provide the cost per acquiring household for a low OTA, high power OTA, and a normal cable?
Yeah, so we don't publish those numbers because we have a confidentiality agreement with those providers. But we can, as I mentioned earlier, the low provider, low power versus full power, has 5 to 8 times multiple on the revenue side. And from cost side, it is somewhere between 5 times to 10 times, sometimes 12 times of those low power as well. But we can't give specific numbers because of the NDAs that we have signed.
Okay. So, can you explain the tenures of these agreements that you signed? Like, how long are these agreements and what are the cost escalations just broadly for these OTA and OTT agreements?
So OTT is different. So let me go with, that's a good question. For OTA, since the households are increasing in that space, the last 5 year growth rate has been almost 7. So the cost escalation there is, some of the agreement that we have done for 3 years have about 4% cost escalation built in. And some agreements are just for 1 year and there's no cost escalation because they're not longer term. And some agreements are 1 year, but exit clause with 3 months notice period. So there is no such cost escalation with them. But there is a leverage for us if their households continue to increase by 6-7% and the cost increase is 4%, then there is continued leverage for us in OTA.
Okay. And so is there any clause which represents that if we achieve certain revenues from these existing households, then we have to also share any some kind of a revenue share or a royalty with these OTA providers? Or is it only specific to just a fixed cost kind of for household costs?
Yeah, it's a fixed cost in OTA. And I forgot to add to your earlier question of OTT. So OTT, there are multiple different kinds of OTT. One is the smart televisions. Other is linear, like AT&T Now or Roku TV or YouTube TV. So those are linear TV where you broadcast through the online. And the third is the apps. For example, we have apps on Fire TV or on Apple TV or on Roku and Samsung or Hisense. So those apps you advertise and people download the apps. So there's no fixed cost with those apps. There's no fixed cost on the smart TV, but there is a fixed cost on streaming, linear streaming on OTT. And there is no escalation built in with those folks yet.
Okay, sir. And sir, what can you share the percentage of multi-channel customers in our FY22 and quarter one FY23?
Multi-channel. Yeah. So it's about 10% to 12% of our total customer base is omnichannel.
Right. So, sir, like, they have kind of bought from us during this quarter as well, right? Like, this is, these 10 to 12 customers have contributed to the revenue, right?
Yeah. So we calculate all on trailing 12-month basis. The customers who bought in trailing 12 months also bought in previous trailing 12 months.
Right. And so, you had mentioned in the past that the LTV of a multi-channel customer is kind of very high than a normal customer. So, what are the reasons for that, sir?
What are the what?
So, you had mentioned that LTV of a multi-channel customer is higher than the normal customer.
Mm-hmm.
So then what are the reasons for the LTV to be higher for a multi-channel? Is it related to their disposable incomes being higher?
No. The reason is that the TV is push medium. The customer sits back and we suggest the product that they should own or they would look good in or they would enjoy it for a long time to come. And the web is pull medium. So what we've discovered is if the customer buys from both medium, pull and push, their engagement is substantially higher than just the push or the pull. Just to give an example, a customer who just buys from TV in US, their lifetime value is about $340. The customer who only buys from one sliver of our web property called FPC, that's just a catalog, there's only $57. But the customer who buys from FPC as well as TV, their lifetime value is about $2,700. This is trailing 12 months on just US alone. Now, customer who buys on web TV, within web, as well as FPC, so there's a live TV on web and the catalog, their lifetime value is about $1,000. So customer who buys from only web TV is $70. So web TV and FPC is the 70 and 57. And if you can get that customer to buy from both, they jump to $1,000 because it is push and pull.
Right.
So we do not fully know why this behavior jumps so much, but we think the customer becomes more sticky and more engaged with us if they engage with us in push and pull.
What measures do we take to ensure that, you know, we convert this either a TV standalone or a web standalone customer to a multi-channel customer? What are the measures that Vaibhav Global puts in place so that the customer becomes a multi-channel?
Yeah. So we incentivize them. We promote on television. We promote web properties on web. We promote television. Also, we just recently starting to promote or incentivize customer from buying on board. There is just still a plan in place that will kick in a few weeks, two or three weeks. That plan would encourage customer to buy on both properties on same day. And then we'll incentivize them with certain discounts. But that has not fully kicked in. But seeing the lifetime value, such a robust lifetime value, we are doing a lot of different initiatives to migrate them in different ways.
Okay, one last question. Sir, how much time does it take for a customer, for a new customer, to become the first customer who buys on the platform to reach the repeat purchases of whatever 25, 27 levels that we have? What is the time period through which he travels to become a repeat customer at that level?
You know, some customer buys the first day multiple pieces. Some customer takes 6 months. There is no formula for that.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thanks, Abhilash.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So I want to thank all the participants for your time and great questions. And I also thank you for your support to VGL in past years. If you have any further question, feel free to reach Prashant Saraswat at VGL or Mit Shah at CDR India, and we'll be happy to answer your questions. Thank you once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Vaibhav Global Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.